Blog Talk Radio.
Up the rites in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong? Father Mackenzie, writing the words of a sermon that no one will hear. No one comes near, look at him working, darning his socks in the night when there's nobody there. What does he care? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? Died in the church and was buried along with her name. Nobody came, Father Mackenzie, wiping the dirt from his hands as he walked from the grave. No one was saved, all the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong?
A lovely little 2 minute and 5 second piece of music that is with Beatles, of course, with Eleanor Rigby. Paul McCartney, who wrote that song, opened up recently in the New Yorker magazine saying that that was actually about an older lady that he knew when he was growing up, and that that unnamed lady shared him a whole heap of stories, and those stories then went on to be in his music and in his works. So there we go. And this is, look, I'm not Deb. I just want that straight. I'm not Deb. This is Deb's show, and I'm not Deb. This is OP Taylor. Along with me for the ride is Sweet Pea. Hi, Sweet. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Sorry about that. I'm good. Hello.
Excellent. Good. So there's the two of us, and we are here because Deb is not well. And she is super organized, as normal, and she's got weeks and weeks of shows. And last week there was a show on potions, and this week there was meant to be this show on the artwork of Anthony Clarkson. And we've got a whole heap of poems to go through, because with Deb, she's so organized that she's actually got everyone working for the next weeks. So it's just remarkable. So with all of that, I'm going to say hello and welcome to, I think, 440, which I think is Stephen and Kay. Hello, Stephen and Kay. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, really, really good. So I'm going to get you on the board super quick. I'm just going to say hello to 270. Hi, 270. How are you?
Fine. That'd be Wayne Gent.
Yeah. Wayne, how are you? So what we are going to do, Stephen and Kay, because I know, Stephen, that you have a very early commitment tomorrow morning, and it's late enough now. So I'm going to grab both of your potion poems first, because I know you both put poems on the board for that topic. So I'm probably going to – who wants to read first, Stephen or Kay? You tell me. Who wants to kick off?
Ladies first.
Oh, okay.
Ladies first. Okay, we can do that. Righto. Well, let me grab Kay's potion poem first and put that up on the board. And that was a number 14. So let me put that up on the board now for you, Kay. And we are in your hands to read. Then we'll get Stephen to do his potion poem, and then we'll cross across and do the Anton Clarkson artwork straight after. So, paper in your hands.
Okay. I call this Take a Deco at Contemplate in Parisons. Unflappable, cold, sober and unconcerned, placid as a gnome, straight-faced, yet frosty in the boss cage, backwoods hearsed, cluster of trees, underbrushes, the shin-tangle firth of youth, upon the branches of cliffs, a lone appleseed, needed its ashes of brown veneer stripped, old as the reflections and blanch and blushes of vermilion twists, moony, yet guarded in armorless ardor of the sands under his feet, bell book and candle, wax in their potions and a votary cake candle, as a smog, choking the air as death, the wick, the tapers, and the soul, as the young man says, death is near, dare you fight it, as a cresset of lanterns is snuffed, as a potion of youth, a trick, sconces of illuminating flashes invite, pales of stain, vein in the glass, tokens and wine-colored, blood-red litter, their penance, all torches, spill the frisk a sip, and windows of pacing, as the wind blows cold, and pump.
Very, very, very nice. I particularly liked your use of the different pieces of the lamps and candles, like sconces, for example. Most people are not going to know what sconces are. They're the little candles that come off a piano. The reason I know all of those bits and pieces is because my father sold kerosene lamp parts and kerosene lamps as part of his antique shop. So he had wicks and he had burners and he had chimneys and he had all the little bits and pieces that went with them. So anyway, there you go. Very, very neat. Did you want to say a few words about Kay's poem?
I thought it was beautiful. I really enjoyed the language in it. Was the potion of youth a trick? Scones of illuminating flashes invite pails of stain raining glass. Tokens of wine-colored blood-red litter their penance. I really enjoyed that stanza. I think, yeah. Youth is always a trick, isn't it? Not really. I think age is just what you feel. I really, really enjoyed that a lot.
Thank you.
And Mr. Wangent, did you want to say a few words about Kay's piece for us, please? Hello, Wayne?
Can you hear me?
He must have dropped.
I'm here.
Came back.
No. You got me on hold.
Damn it. Get
out of
here.
Really? You got
me on hold. Indeliberate. Or indiscriminately. Well, I didn't mean to. Anyway, my apologies. Wayne, did you get to listen to Kay's poem in the midst of all of that?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Did you want to say a few? I can.
Okay. Yeah, I said did a pretty good job with the poem and the potion. She did a good job with this. I like where death is near, dare you fight it. The crest of lanterns is enough. Was the potion of youth a trick? It's good wording right there. Enjoy the poem. Enjoy the read. Great job, Kay.
Thanks, Wayne.
So, thank you, Kay. And I'm going to swap now to Stephen. And, Stephen, I have your potions poem up the board, on the board, which is imbibed in potion of fairy rings is what the wailing banshee sings. Or something along those lines. And we're in your hands.
That is exactly correct. My idea here was the further you drank into the potion, the deeper you went into the fairy world of Ireland. So you've already given the title, so I'll just start reading. Honeyed emerald potion of clover sap, how deep do you choose to drown? Deep beneath the hilled fairy rings, where weeping banshees scream and frown? Sip from vapid surface, and you shall be among grinning green leprechauns. The darker liquid in depths of glass brings vertebrae barbed whip of the Duahan. The puka does sit within mid-flask, as town foolery is its game. But don't swill any deeper than that, if you prefer your Irish Gaelic fairies tame. Hoist bottle bottom to ceiling if you dare. Ivy poison now fills your tottering breath. For the last syrup thick drop of this potion does bring relentless horse drawn coach of death. End poem.
Okay. So you base the potion and then you start sort of looking at the greenery of Ireland, and then you start, the more you go, then the ghosts come, and then something with a sword, and then a horse looks at you very strangely, and all of a sudden something pulls up and asks you to whiz off with it. That's really kind of cute, really. That's sort of my sort of summary of where the potion took us, Stephen. So, Wayne, did you want to say a few words about Stephen's piece?
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful use of pictures in this. I was kind of reading along and watching the pictures, and I kind of got lost in my own little world.
Yeah.
Good job. I need some help.
Well done. Well done. Well, I agree with you. I just said I need help to how to use some gifts and make my poems actually sing and dance. Sweet. Did you want to say a few words?
I do love all things Irish, and this definitely brings it on. And I love the story. I thought it was really great. Hoist bottle of the bottom to the ceiling if you dare. Ivy poison now feels your tottering breath. don't ever do that. Never trust the Irish with potion. God knows what it's going to happen if you do. That's all I'm saying. I'm right there with Stephen. Don't be drinking it.
No, a true story, actually, sweet. I went to sort of middle England at one point in time, and it was actually a really, really cold day outside, and I went to this pub, this English pub in Salisbury, and it was really warm. They had warm beer and everything. I had a couple, two or three beers, and I thought I felt okay. I went outside, and I almost fell straight over, because you can have some alcohol and be warm, but the minute you have it be cold and outside, you know, it strikes you like a mallet straight between the eyes. So I imagine that's what happens to people who go to Ireland as well. It just happened to me in England. Anyway, onwards and forwards. And now, Stephen, you also had a piece on the board for the Anthony Clarkson piece, which was the piece for this week and the art that Deb put on. So what I might do is grab that poem now and put that up on the board for you to read, if that's okay.
Okie doke.
I also have a poem,
so,
too.
Yes, I saw that. Okay, so yeah. we'll do Stephen's and then you. Yeah? So we'll
yeah.
Then we'll sort of got our way through both works. So, Stephen, that poem is up on the board now, which is, and we're in your hands.
All righty. This is an extremely interesting picture that I chose. A guy grabbing, playing kids and putting them in a meat grinder. When it spits them out like businessmen.
Wow.
Not much fun. So I call this, "When Life's Meat Grinder Comes Too Soon." Giggles and grins of green plastic wheelies, hot-wheeled matchboxes pitted from cracked concrete jaunts within property lines. Tetanus metallic Tonka construction, pushing rocky terrain away from moist soil roads that have always existed in childhood's gray matter hallways. Until piss yellow porcelain tile-eyed from corner as bald meat mill snags hair, grinding innocent ideals into rusty water and tears flowing down the shower drain, leaving a fragile shell. Boom.
Isn't that an interesting picture, Stephen, with that sort of classic sort of metal grinder? My mum used to have one of them, and she used to use it for onions. And by God, it used to make my eye just water to all kingdom come. But it's a really interesting process. I particularly like the eyes of the dark suits coming out the other side, and that's why I like, you know, the grinding innocent ideals into rusty water and tears flowing down the shower drain. It's very, very, very nice. So, no, I thought that was, you've done that beautifully well, Stephen. So, and with that, I am going to turn to Sweet Pea to get a few comments.
Oh, absolutely. Except I Wayne, let's get Wayne a comment from Wayne.
Really? Okay, we can do that.
Yes,
but
please.
She just asked you to comment. Wayne, are you sure?
I had to find the button. I couldn't get that button working.
Oh, that's okay. Cool.
Yeah, I like the point. It's a very good point. Well balanced, and it reads great. I like the last stanza where you go, as bald meat mills stags hair, grinding innocent ideals into rusty waters and tears flowing down in the shower drain. It's good balance, good flow, and good rhythm in that. I hope Wayne did a good job of this.
No, I agree with you, Wayne. I like that too. Hello, and welcome to 959. How are you? Hello, 959. Hello, 959. Hello, are you there? I'm not hearing anything from you. No. Hello?
Hatter?
Hello? Hey. Who do you think it is, 959? Is it
Hatter? I don't know.
Something like that.
That's not Hatter. No,
anyone else?
No, Blue.
Sorry, who are we talking to?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah,
yes.
It's Blue.
Yes. Hello. It's Blue.
Hi, Blue.
How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Deb's not here tonight.
No, Deb's on vacation. Well, she's not really. She's sick. She's you know. No, she did say that she does miss everybody and she's sending love and respect to everybody and but that's about as much as I get out of her. So I guess that's not bad. It's better than what I got out of the last 2 weeks. So, you know, we're moving in the right direction. I am now going to...
Can I comment now?
You can comment now.
I'm
sorry.
Thank you. I was reading this over again because I was like, wow, this is pretty dramatic. I was like, kind of taken aback because your first read is kind of like, okay, what is this all about? But then my second read, this is really kind of deep. This is painful. I was looking at this like Hot Wheel matchbox kitted, cracked concrete jaunts with propping lines. This is like a very sad childhood kind of like rocked and beaten and like all the toys and pissed yellow porcelain tile-eyed from corner. It's like there was no fun in all of this, and that's why it kind of took me back, and I'm sorry I didn't comment right away, but it just kind of made me think, you know, leaving a fragile shell. It's like there was no joy in any of the toys you're talking about or anything that, you know, giggles and grins of green plastic wheelies. I just didn't see, like, there was a lot of happiness in any of that, and I may be completely wrong, but I just didn't see any happiness in what this poem had to say, and I kind of was really taken aback by it. I just saw a lot of pain, so I thought it was really well done and really well written, and there's a lot of deep metaphors in it.
Thank you, sweet. Now, I am going to turn to you, Kay, to your piece on the Anthony Clarkson prompt. And I've put that up on the board now. Do you want to do that for us, please?
Yes. Okay. I call blindfolded and perforated notes, cover and scarring. All peen sprigs of a jar and split and mowl, fouls the woeful flower, rowls plowshares, the fields of wolves prowling, for a loop weeping for the lambs. Hurl the pule and cornerstones of abandoned churches. No chimes dust the air. Veneers bleed the blind of flanges as a vessel of thorny lacrimose. Legans disbanding, hands blanched and curls of withers freezing as calcined ashes bereck. The drays of thoughts through the cedars as to powder the steps of silence, untouched, inscribed, and pump.
Okay. Now, okay, this is obviously a very deep and meaningful poem to you. Did you want to talk about the author's note that you've got there as well?
Well, the long and the short of it is I've I've made it known many times I was raised by abusive parents. I'm living on the farm. You have to find out about growing up a little too early as well, about life and death. The thing is, in between that, my mother, she purposely would abuse, kill animals, feed them antifreeze, dump them in the woods, do things that I had to witness. And I carry a lot of guilt from all the things that I had to see growing up that I couldn't stop.
Yep. Yeah. And so then you've got that quite amazing image there of what looks like an angel with animals, but with the blood and obviously with the blindfold of you trying not to see those things. And then you've got quite incredibly well described, but also quite what's the right word? It's painful in the description, if that makes sense. The cornerstone of abandoned churches, no chimes dust the air, the desolate, thorny and lachrymose. It's a haunting sort of use of words. And it makes sense with the author's note. So it's a what must be a difficult write, Kay, but it's extremely well expressed in the words you chose.
Thank you.
Blue, what did you want to say a few words about this poem by Kay?
Hello. Yeah, I'm here. There's a lot of deep meaning here. I'm really, really glad that she put in the author notes about what she was referring to back and forth. Of course, Parkson with a lot of his paintings. I mean, they're very, very Picasso-ish. You know what I mean? And they're interpreted differently by each person, but
yes,
to really go as far as what she did with respect to how she grew up, you know, and the pains that she saw and that kind of thing, and how she interpreted through the abstract of the words in such brevity, I think she did a great job.
Yeah, no, I agree. Thank you. And Stephen, did you want to say a few words? And then did you want to say a few words about any of your upcoming shows on Poetic Slice?
Well, yeah, I of course have read this when you first wrote it, and I told you in my comment, you know, that it's a good thing that sometimes when the apple falls from the tree, it rolls for miles rather than staying so close, because you are quite the opposite of the way you've described your mother to me. But yeah, I think this writes speaks volumes.
Thank you.
And it's very well done, hon.
Thank you.
Yeah. And our next show at A Poetic Slice of Life is Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. It is the Poetic Inklings of Tomorrow, and we are featuring our Artist of the Month,
Agnes Cecil,
a tremendous watercolor painter. They've got a lot of cool paintings to look at, so check them out.
Okay, perfect. Okay, terrific. Okay, well, look, that sounds great. And thank you to both Stephen and Kay for calling in, and all the best for your shows during the week. And we'll catch up with you down the track, I'm sure.
All right. Thanks for letting us read and run. Appreciate it.
No, pleasure. Pleasure, guys. Thanks again.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Okay, good night. Okie dokie. So, in rough sort of order, I was going to Wayne to grab your poem next, because you sort of joined us sort of next in the line. And you did, I think, a potion poem. So bear with me, because I'm going to go back and grab the potion poem and put it on the board for you. And I think it was, from memory, Aunt Myrtle's potion. So I'm going to go and grab that and put that on the board as we go. And, well, you never know. You know, I could put it, well, God knows what board I'll end up on. But anyway, put it on. I'll try it. And so I think it should be there now. Why don't you have a look?
All right. Yeah, this is called Aunt Myrtle's Potion. It goes like this. Aunt Myrtle's Potion's a jarring gelatin gel, perfume padded drink, dropping poisonous spell. Bevel bubble bottle oozes sticky neon dream, embroidered glazed glass, shielding scorching steam. Drinking dimple dot, man's brain blemish haze. Wielded wounded serrated cerebellum for months of murky days. Sit scared to stare with blank crimson veined whooping eyes, spiraling and tossing, burning, where puke and poop lies. Hanging skull on whooping lion's key, guards cork snake bite, crisp and brisk, liquid lime laughs, and spiked blood spinning nights. Forging flamingo flames from fingers, blazing hairy head, last mahogany men, marked scowls, corpse is dead. Ian?
Aha. There you go. Motion. It's a beauty, isn't it? It sort of, you know, reminded me of the sort of snake bite antivenin. You know, it sort of fixes your snake bite, but it's almost as poisonous as the snake. So it sort of reminded me of that a little bit. Blue, did it remind you of something in particular?
I just got a chance to just pull it up because I'm running a little bit behind with my phone. So,
No, that's okay.
Let's see.
It's cool.
I'll come back to you. That's cool. I'll come back. Don't hurry. I'll come back. I'm going to instead switch across to the other side of the studio because I know Sweet Pea is sitting there, and I'm going to get a comment from Sweet Pea.
Yes, you are. I love this phone. I love all the alliteration. I love how cute it is, actually. Hanging skull on looping lion's key. I love that. Mass mahogany men. Mark's skull corpse is dead. I just thought this is great. I couldn't say it as much as you do. I think you have the twistiest tongue I've ever known. And it's just marvelous. Everything here is just really cute. I love it's Aunt Myrtle's potion. And yet it's so devious. It's just a devious little thing from Aunt Myrtle. It's very well done. And I like how you did it. Remind me not to cross your Aunt Myrtle.
I was going to say, I've seen a lot of Aunt Myrtles before, and not many of them have keys with skulls on the front of them. But anyway, you never know. I'm probably downplaying the Aunt Myrtles of the world. So, you know. And, Wayne, I don't spend enough time in Kentucky. So it may well be that every Aunt Myrtle in Kentucky is like that too. So, you know, I'm not here to say, but, you know. Now, Blue, did you have a chance to read Wayne's piece while we were dancing around?
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of like an old Shakespearean apothecary, you know, you would think of, you know, how they would make up the potion, sort of like, sort of like maybe a Romeo and Juliet type line, you know what I mean? Somewhere, somewhere, you know, in between everything. So, yes, that's how I see it, Wayne.
Thank you very much. I like
to
compare to Shakespeare.
Yeah, very impressive. Good insight. And now, because I'm going backwards and forwards madly, I am going to turn to you, Blue, and because you wrote a piece for the Anthony Clarkson show, so the show for this week, and I think that was yours, the Masquerade of the Grackle, great word by the way.
Yes.
Your piece? Yeah, I'll put that up on the board for you if you'd like to read it for us.
Okay. And here I go. Be sure to read the author notes too, because there's a lot of definitions in the author notes.
Did you want to do the author's notes first, or did you want to do that at the end?
I can do that at the end. Thank you for asking.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Okay. When the dead return dreaming, they will come to you in grassy slopes and planted glades. Canvas awaking will be the birds knocking against the glass. Human guile strewed the wide woodland's mingled shades, covering blue the sharp October breeze. Wind seeking a white and will masquerade, tattooed voice, her hair frost, their jetty keys, audible by the tongues of Hallison leaves. Attracted there, a countless throng, greeted we rapping, waves, self-made fugue, becoming bobs and various songs. Embroidered elms, gregarious rips, where the copples that grins and lies, alders crowding on the brooks, hide our cheeks and shade our eyes. Torn and bleeding, this debt paid to human cries, but oh, the clay is beneath our feet. We wear the mask, counting all our tortured breath and sighs. Arise inside this mausoleum, foreigners, mistress, long the mile, let the world think otherwise. Lifeless masquerade, within the slower course, the obstructed tide, carnival requiem, blue sequin moon, water rail, symphony of stars, amongst Lygian hide. Pearls, sheldrake eyes, fluttered ant, the timid teal, blue, wave in plummy pride. Renoir's baroque, smiling face, ivory swan repelled with an ebon foot. Venetian ballroom, fairy dreamscape pond, ducks, Muscovian scarlet eyed, French harlequins and carousel images, sails social with the dusky foot. Rabbit night, dark decoy shadows, Shakespeare tasseled tempest scene, moss determined desire, compilation strokes, hidden vowels. Ornamented tragedy lies in the lack of sheer, abandoned castles with glacial walls. Mystery's mayhem, a tangled quagmire. Elagic waltz, factitious art can never attain. Nocturnal ghost, dance the halls to reach what nature will deny, but what you are, nor try in vain. Amongst grace of young simplicity, transient flesh counts every plank, flattery, dense of darkness, padded pantomime enthralls, engraved deep in their withered flank, inscribed that which others rightly say, grackles pilfering, literary J, in poem. Thank you. So many different words are, a lot of this I refer back to some of the old style of poem words, like sheldrake, refers to like a specific type of old world ducks. Even if you go back and you count when it talks about rail, that also is a type of duck. It's not actually like a wooden rail, so that's different. Copples, they're a group of animals or prisoners that are chained together in a line. A grackle is, it's actually in the jay family, but it's actually considered to be related to a crow or a raven as well. Just to put it that way. And then, of course, you have the kurt that, and the widgeon as well, that refers to, once again, you know, the ducks.
Yes.
And it comes back, doesn't it, throughout to the birds and the ducks and the and that linking back to that quite vivid tattoo on the back of that masked person that you spoke of here. So it's and I did like how it was the masquerade of the grackle, and you finished with the jay. I thought that was very clever. Sweet. Did you want to say a few words about this poem?
Well, I thought it was beautiful. I loved the details in it, Blue. I loved the kind of storyline that you ran through it. I think your ability to tell a story, your ability to kind of put things together, and your metaphoric, I like to say it's metaphoric imagery, because you have the ability to tell us something in a slight way, but you do it so beautifully that it always kind of amazes me. And that's why I have always kind of liked to read, but it's always great to hear you read what you've written. So thank you for bringing it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I just want to say two things, because I'm actually getting ready to celebrate my birthday here shortly. So
happy birthday.
I just wanted to say thank you. I just wanted to say that I think Sweet Pea, you had a birthday yesterday.
Yes, yesterday. Yeah.
She did. Happy birthday to you as well. I just want to say
thank you. Thank you.
So can we say happy birthday to you yet, Blue, or is it too early?
It's about an hour and a half away, but I'll be up all night.
Happy birthday! If it's an hour and a half
thank
away,
you.
Keep going, Blue.
No, that was like one reason why I called in, because I really haven't felt too comfortable with calling in shows too much yet. Just because of a lot of things that I've been going through and that kind of stuff, I'm just changing a lot of things up with how I write my poetry the last few weeks and things like that. So I'm staying away from my old style and trying to do a lot more of a storyline type stuff, and it seems to be going over quite well, better that way. So maybe I'll try to call in some more too. So, okay.
As I said, Blue, I just thought that you – look, everybody reads their own work better than any other person, yeah? So it there's something about hearing an author's work in their own words. It's just so much more powerful. So if you can keep calling in, that would be fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. And it's good to hear you, AP. It's been a long time since I talked to you. A very long time.
Yes, it has. You're right. But we've been stayers around the site for far too long, Blue. So, but no. It's good to hear your voice again.
You as well. So I'm going to kick off, and I thank you for letting me have you on for the little while that you allowed me to talk on the show. Thank you, both of you.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Pleasure. It's great to have you. Thanks, Blue.
Happy birthday. Enjoy your birthday.
Thanks, Wayne. Thanks. Take care.
Okay. Thanks again. Thanks for calling. Okie doke. Now, I am going to grab one of the other pieces from the Anthony Clarkson show, Deb, for Deb, and put it on the board. Now, this is by Heavenly Angel, again, from the Clarkson show, and I thought I might as well read this one to kick off, because I'm going to need you, Sweet and Wayne, to do some reading for me, because we've got a fair few on the board. So this is a piece by Heavenly Angel called My Sunflower, and it goes a little bit like this. Your memory is embroidered in my heart, burning brightly from within, flowing outward to light my path. Beautifully engraved on the canvas of my life, words of deepest honeyed affection, you spoke grew as wild as the sunflowers covering Texas fields. I recall times when you held me on your lap and brushed the dirt right off my knee, or just held me cushioned to your bosom, and times of holding your hands. All these are precious thoughts to me, engraved forever in my memory. The day my sunflower withered arrived too soon, jarring my spirit, cutting and biting, so difficult for me to understand and accept you needed to be at peace, body, mind and soul. God only chooses the prettiest flowers for his heavenly bouquet. All the arrangements were taken care of, the flowers, the music, the service. Pastor Shelley delivered the eulogy as I sat with my broken heart dripping down my face. I often sit and gaze at your photograph just to get through each passing day. And when I spot the occasional sunflower, I smile through glass tears, knowing you're still watching over me. My mother, my sunflower. End poem.
Wow, beautiful.
It was.
That was just beautiful, well, yeah.
It was just a really beautifully written, heartfelt tribute to somebody she obviously cared a great deal about.
Yeah.
So.
That was
really funny. It was beautiful, beautiful, right? Wayne, did you want to say a few words about piece?
This is a wonderful, it's very touching. Yeah, it's a very touching poem. It's a great tribute to her mother, and she kind of you see love for her mother all through the poem. And she did a great, great sentimental, and I like it a whole lot. It's kind of sad because it's kind of, it ain't sad, but it's just so touching. It makes you want to tear up a little bit. Great job.
Yeah. No, I agree. It is. It's got quite a sad sort of feel to it. But the words are quite beautiful. It's difficult when you're trying to remember a person and do them justice on a page. And you know, I've tried that myself, and I've found it very tough. But Sweet, what did you think now that you've had a chance to collect your thoughts?
You know, it is very hard to give someone justice. I know that she lost her mother, and you know, we've kind of talked about both losing a parent this year, and I know how deeply she feels, and I just think this is just a lovely tribute, and I know how heartfelt it is for her, and I think that her heart is in this, and I think it's just feelings are written words here, and it's just it's hard for me to talk about because I have so many feelings that are on this page about my dad.
Yeah.
So it's just
absolutely
there.
Yep, absolutely. And that's because it's really well written, Sweet. It just sort of sits there and grabs you because it is that well written. So well done, Heavenly Angel. I hope you're listening. I know you've got another poem for the Potions piece, but what I thought I might do is do the other Anthony Clarkson pieces because we've only got another couple of those to do, and then go back and do Potions for the second hour. Sweet. So that was my sort of thinking.
Okay.
Not
a problem.
So I've only got Phil the poet and Gerald Green. Now I know Gerald's put in a SoundCloud link, but I don't know that that's actually been listed up there, Gerald. So we might have to read that for you. So bear with us if that's what we have to do. In the meantime, I have Phil the poet's piece for this week and the prompt. And it's called Butterfly Life of Berenice. I hope I've got that right. And this goes a little bit like this. Fluorescent butterfly wings fan the pale countenance of Berenice. Tired smile comes across the thin blue lips. The eyes come to life. The porcelain doll's heart begins to flutter as she stretches out a finger. The teeth shine in the moonlight, causing a monomaniac to twitch. The fragile life lands upon the icy digit of bitter decay. Tears fall from the eyelet of a dried-up leathered face, embroidered in colours of a fading mirage of a decaying weed that once flowered in a wishing well of innocence. The embedded pattern of heaven's ink sculptured the delicate wings, fascinated by the symmetry of colours dancing before her orbs. there only stretches forth her hand to caress the spirit of life, but in doing so, she smudges the printed wings with death's touch. Suddenly, she feels reanimated, revived, dare we say resurrected, the wing is cracked, seeping through its elixir of life. Filling out the chapped lips, the gaunt heroine cheek look, making her hair bouncy and free with a smile to die for. She opens the window to the attic to invite the copper sky, massage her veneered soul with serrated raindrops, adding marrow to the bones, joy to the pockmarked tears, breathing in the mosaic dreams of inscribed thoughts. Smeared wings upon the skin of a revitalized Berenice, war-paint a sign of human graffiti with those smiling teeth. Swarmed by a thousand upon thousands, suddenly the room is empty, and not a trace of Berenice can be found. End poem. Going dark on these ones this week.
Yeah.
They're all dark and they're all different, but they're all deep. Just a really interesting write, actually. Really interesting write. I think Deb needs to read this when she gets back because of the links and the connections to the butterfly. But what did you think of this one?
Can you ask Wayne? Unfortunately, my computer just took a dive.
Oh,
okay. I don't have anything in front of me.
It's all good. Wayne, did you want to say a few words about this one for us?
Yes, I think they went overboard on this one here. It's a very well written poem. It's got a little touch of yearning, a little mystery in it. And my mom's name was Bernice, so it kind of really had a good touch of that.
Really?
So, I like that. And I like the name. And I like that she the fragile life lands upon the icy digit of bitter decay. That is a wonderful line. I think that's just he's got a bunch of good lines here, but that is just wonderful there. Has a kind of a mysterious hue about this. I like it a whole lot. Good job with this, Bill.
Yeah, well, interestingly, Wayne, this Berenice is from the ancient Greek, and it's the means bearer of victory from the ancient Greeks. It is earliest form is from about 350 BC, and then it has been grabbed ever since in figures through Egypt and Judea and others. So a very famous ancient Greek name. I'm going back to you now after that little interlude. What do you think of this piece?
I still don't have a computer, so...
Oh, well, okay, that makes it very, very hard. So,
yes, it does.
It makes very, very hard.
Okay, very difficult, yes.
So I'm just going to say, it's worth going back and reading. It's probably one, Phil, that I think... Deb would enjoy because of the link between the butterflies and Bernice and that sort of sense of the person turning into a butterfly and then leaving at the end and there being nothing there, and it's and that change of the person, which was quite interestingly done about the marrow of the bones and the gaunt heroine cheek look. Which I exactly know what you're talking about. So, anyway, very well done. Thank you for putting that piece in. And I turn to the board now and grab the last piece that we had for the Anthony Clarkson art. And that is the piece by Gerald Green. So... I know that you've got a piece week, but I am holding on to that in the hope that we might actually see Hatter a little bit later. So I haven't forgotten, believe me. I'm with you. But I'm just putting it up on the board now. So I'm going to do Gerald's poem, and then I'm going to go back and go through the list of potions. And we've got a whole stack of potion poems that we'll share out amongst us. but we've got poems by Crystal, by Lockdown Lars. We've got Poetic Picasso. We've got Titus. We've got Heavenly Angel. We've got Sky. You name it, we've got poems left, right and centre to get through for Potion. So before we get to that, one more on the Anthony Clarkson Show. This is Like Father, Like Son by Gerald Green. It goes a little bit like this. I saw his father fading year to year, a slow decline with leathered skin and thinning hair. Once piercing eyes, no longer sought, unable to complete the death. His loss was felt by those who knew that crisp and brilliant mind and great achievements an educator, shaping minds and challenging with an encyclopedic brain. His knowledge broadened, never slowed or shrank until those final days when the need for rest intervened. And now, two decades later, I watch his son follow that fateful path. As tissue succumbs to aging force, another wrinkled star begins to fade. To see him, you would never guess about those academic credentials, but engage him in conversation and you'll be impressed. Inside that old and blemished skull, a rare and slide machine is working still, with knowledge edged in granite that drives a spirit far beyond my reach. Cane is added for support and pace is slowed for limp and safety's sake. But deep inside lies what I seek when meeting him at church each week. Isn't that interesting? Sort of like the aging of father to son picked up on a piece and on a image there, which is fascinating. Now, Sweet, is your computer still causing you grief?
No, I just got it. My husband just found it.
Thank God for that. Well done. All help is gratefully accepted, Swell.
Yes. Thank God he's an IT, because I was lost. Okay. So, I really like this. As a matter of fact, it's already a pending first page pick.
Yes.
I really thought this was beautiful. I love the story, and I love the way Gerald writes anyway. But this is spectacular. His knowledge broadened, never slowed or shrank until those final days when the need for rest intervened. You know, it's, again, this... I hate that, you know, unfortunately, it really does remind me of my dad a lot.
Yes.
Cain is added for support. And a pace is slowed for limp and safety's sake, but deep inside lies what I seek when meeting him at church each week. You know, my dad being a minister, he was so, you know, right there, and he was so brilliant, and he was so, you know, he was a brilliant man. I mean, he just was, and you would know that just talking to him. And, you know, he was a businessman. He was very much, you know, he worked for the Pentagon. He was always involved with the government. He was always, always into whatever was going on. And this just kind of reminds me of that. And if my brother's not like him, nothing is. And this is just beautiful. And I really, really, you know, it's probably one of my favorites of Gerald's. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's something kind of insightful about the description and then the sort of the slightly different but the repetition of what's happening. As tissue succumbs to aging force, another wrinkled star begins to fade. It's a very insightfully written and observed piece, and you can sort of tell it's a true story. Wayne. What did you think of this one?
Well, the Father Like Son is a wonderful way he put all the words together to come up with this. He says so well, and I like the he speaks of his original son so well, and he even says a little part of the point I like the best where he says, to see him you'd never guess about his academic credentials, but to engage him in conversation you'd be impressed. I put, yeah, I would be impressed with him. Maybe if we met in church this Sunday, it'd be nice to have a meeting. But it's a great job on this. He did a wonderful job of this. He did a great read, too.
Yeah, he did. He did a wonderful job. I agree. I just think the descriptions were beautiful. And thank you too for helping out, Wayne, for sticking around. It's much appreciated.
Thank you very much. See y'all later. Gotta run.
Okie doke. Yeah, no, I know.
Night, Wayne.
And We'll talk soon. Thanks, Wayne. Okie doke. Well, we've done the sort of Anthony Clarkson piece for now, sweet. And so I am in reverse, of course, now going to go back to the Potions poems from last week. And I have put on the board Potions, and this is a love potion by Titus Llewellyn, Amortentia, a love potion. And it goes a little bit, I should say, Amortentia is the most powerful love filter in existence. It's considered to be a powerful and highly dangerous potion. Under its effect, the potion will only hold an obsession for the person who administers it. Okay, so now we've got that. This is the piece, and it's a shaped piece too, kind of like that. Here we go. Held beyond radiance is the suffering long wait. Anticipation keeps, I cannot for the life of me bemoan myself, whose pangs it can be kept. I've wept until no more for the symptoms. I keep a deep lackluster numb, inbuilt why idol worship, whom deranged my faith around, it still devoid shunts inertia. One is driven mad, it cannot keep away, it has risen. Awareness, damn you, let me be, my feelings down has woken up, a final droll do I dare. What pain there is, something uncertain which is compressed. It draws from your soul, then it drags one under. Prayer, a final healing. If it is answered, it acknowledged the dark blessings are being bled to draw your love from deep within, the oblivion which does not need to control. A woman thereupon, for any man who would relish the thought, soul worthy, no response, unable to control. Given this is the ninth wonder of the world, a worthy distinction given to death, treason. Love has succumbed a means to survive, and there you are, holding such a filter. However, so no one will know for sure until your feelings do share a sequel. You'll be eager to imagine so like. Can inflate your ego to a point, woe begone the love I keep, and in such high spirit. If Satan has given this blessing, it is time to pour. In poem. Isn't that neat?
That is very neat.
So,
very, very neat.
It's, well, firstly, the shape is impressive. And because, you know, sweet, I like the odd bit of shape poetry. But apart from that, its description and words of the love potion is really quite beautifully done, and quite detailed, and just as always with Titus, a lovely use of words. What did you think, Sweet?
I thought it was very well done, as always. I thought it was a very unique poem as far as, you know, I love soul worthy, no response, and able to control, given this is the ninth wonder of the world. I like that this is the ninth wonder of the world. I like how he proposes that.
Yeah.
And I like the ending statement too, you know, if Satan has given this blessing, it is time to pour. I really like that ending. Thought that was quite unique.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okie doke. Well, we are moving on, and we have a piece, the second piece. We had a piece earlier on the Anthony Clarkson show. I have a piece from Heavenly Angel up on the board on the Potions piece suite, which is Enchanted by Heavenly Angel. Would you be able to read that for me?
Okay. I sure can. Enchanted by Heavenly Angel. Night came on and a full moon rose high over the trees into the sky, lighting the land till it lie bathed in ghostly day. The setting before me glistens like a shiny pearl. I sip the sweet nectar of grapes, lavender, blueberries, and plums.
enhanced with basil and crushed rose petals, the potion mixed by an enchantress of love, a spell cast spoken to the universe in hopes to bring you back. Three times she asked me to repeat, our fate is sealed. We are one, so mote it be, it is done. My love, heed the call of spirits, the call of the wild, the call of the night. Allow us to be enchanted in each other forevermore.
Isn't that a neat, neat, neat piece? So, and they're very different, the two pieces from Heavenly Angel Tonight. Sweet.
Yes, very much.
This one, yeah, the first one, such a personal piece about her father, and the second one, more sort of it's sort of esoteric in some ways, with the night, with the full moon, and the glowing, and the sipping of the nectar, and a spell cast. It's quite it sort of reminds me of almost a gothic sort of fairy tale in some ways. So, just very, very different. What did you think as you read through it?
But wow, our fate is sealed. We are so woke to be. It is done. It kind of reminded me of a little kind of crazy, like, I want you back, Pet Sematary kind of way. Like, you know, you know, you're going to come back to me no matter what. We are there and we are one. And that's the way it's going to be, you know, no matter what. We're enchanted forevermore. It's like, don't cross me. I'm going to come back and get you. So I thought it was pretty wild and intense.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was just a really interesting, piece. Quite different too. A really interesting piece. So, there you go. It's always nice to see sort of different styles from the one poet that sort of juxtaposed against the next. And so I thought that was really interesting. So thank you, Heavenly Angel, for shooting both of those poems into Deb's show. So there you go. Okay. I am going to put the next poem up on the board, which is the one by Poetic Picasso. Now, I know, Frank, you've got a SoundCloud, and a few of these have got SoundClouds, but unfortunately, with Deb not around, we haven't had them loaded. So I will read this one for you. This is Poison of Death by Poetic Picasso, and it goes a little bit like this. If you're truly curious to know what is inside this mere bottle, then be extremely wary about the many unknown possibilities lurking within the vapours of the twirling mass of bright turquoise. For this beautiful colour is only an alluring disguise of deception. Its alabaster glow reflects the shade of moonlight and voices, surrounded by viscous cobwebs and the grim shadow of darkness as the hour of midnight approaches, with a certain premonition to unfold, the time when the ominous ones awake from their placid slumber. What lies inside this concoction is not for the foolish namby-pambies. Its ingredients are not that of a wine, the deadly cocktail of hallucinations racking and sucking the thoughts of your little brain thus discomposed till you have reached the psychedelic world of the whirlpool of demons. If you open the bottle at your absolute discretion and intrigue, know that you will be consumed by the fatal screams of madness and the effects of the drowning. Drop of a liquid suffocation, a horrendous precursor to the inevitable end of your mortality. Drink, if you wish, to travel beyond the darkest realm of known reality and escape the obsidian shadow covering the dreary night of dread. But I warn you again about the horrifying outcome and torment. If you are bold to open the bottle, then be prepared for the worst. Do not look into those somber eyes of the fiend. He will seduce you to an interminable horror, a terror that has no mercy nor surcease, where you drown inside the poison of death Can you hear his voice? Drink. Drink. Impulse.
Wow.
I could hear Frank as I was reading that. I could hear his voice.
Yeah.
And
I definitely
didn't want to do the laugh at the end, because the laugh is just his thing, and I'm just going to end up sounding like, you know, some kid sort of, you know, laughing at a sort of playset thing. So
I know
Frank's laugh is his laugh, you know, and you know, I'm just not going to touch it with the barge pole. So, but you know, apart from the laugh, I think I did okay, Frank. So, you know, give me that. So, but it's clearly a nasty thing. this poison. Sweet, because the further you go down the page, the further nastier it sort of gets. Really, it's nasty, and then it becomes really nasty. So, I don't know how to describe any.
This is typical Frank. It's just scary and spot on and full of just maddening, you know, details. Really amazing. It's just really great and very vivid. I think it gets more and more vivid as it goes along, and I think it's great.
Yeah.
Masterful.
Amazing stuff. It just as you say, the further it goes, the sort of darker and darker the potion sort of becomes, until you sort of think, oh my God, you know, can it get any darker? You know, it's sort of just,
I know.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
So, okie doke. Righto. Well, change of form. So I'm now putting Crystal up on the board for you to read. Sweet. So this is Poisoned Wings by Crystal Hope.
Okay. This is Poison Wings, Crystal Hope. Locked inside a cage, a masquerade to people's pleasure. Chained to prisons to a masked measure. Flight, flightless, cut from numb scissors. Ocean deep and wide, drowning in marais rivers. Wings, wingless, acts like a headless chicken. Boiled, blood boiled over with potions, oils to thicken. Key fallen beneath the cracks of poisoned shadows. Glass walls tumble in the wavy wallows. Cage to a greater measure, change people's pleasures. End poem.
It's axed like a headless chicken. Blood boiled over with potion oils to thicken. Yeah, sort of a classic sort of rhyme, that one, isn't it, really? It's great picture of a potion, I have to say, but it's caged to a greater measure, chained to people's pleasures. Interesting little brevity. What did you think as you read it? What?
I like the cadence in it, and I like the kind of yin and yang of it, flight, flightless, wingless, locked inside a cage, you know, caged to a greater measure, chained to people's pleasures.
Yes.
I like what it does. It's like the seven sins all wrapped up in a little bottle, you know?
It's sort of the yin and the... And the dark and the light reminds me a little bit of a Hatter style poem,
yeah.
I have to say. Yeah?
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just reminds me of that sort of approach, you know. It's sort of, because it sort of goes swings back and swings here and swings there, and it's only just a short poem, and it's got sort of nice rhyme. And yeah, anyway, it's interesting. If you'd shown me that without, you know, Crystal's signature on it, I would have said, well, I'm not sure who did this. And I probably wouldn't have said it was Crystal. So there you go. I think that's a good thing, by the way. I'm a strong believer in people writing in different styles and trying different styles. So there you go. Okie doke. Well, I better grab another poem, and we've got four to go.
All right.
Sweet. So we've got four to go.
Okay.
So that's not too many in the wider
scheme. You can throw mine in that mix. So you can throw mine in the mix anytime, because I don't think I'm going to. Yes,
okay.
I don't think I'm going to see Hatter.
Well, because I don't know. Let's give him another 10 minutes. Yeah, let's give him another 10 minutes, and we will throw yours in the mix, and then we've got five to go. So we'll do that shortly. So, well, as I said, we'll give him 10 minutes and see if he appears, and if he doesn't appear, he doesn't appear. So
what about yours?
I'm going to read
yours. Have you not?
I didn't do any. Sweet, I have to be horribly. I have to be horribly honest and say that I have been but I haven't been writing to the prompts because I've just been trying to sort of do other things. So my apologies, but we'll get to next week and we'll do it. So I've got to figure I've sort of done my bit by sort of sharing and doing the odd bit here and there. So this is by Dave Prophet. This is Queen's Bottle number 21. And it goes a little bit like this. Diaphanous, coiling, swirling, purple litten mist whirls up at the foot of my bed. Gunpowder, cotton candy. Her mist announces the arrival of the queen of the universe in my bedroom floating over me. Breathy whispers shakes my bedroom in sub-octave RF, deep as distance. Betwixt and between stars and galaxies, she murmurs to me, David, my man. A thou still asleep. She's giggling now. Well, I was, looking up into her dark features, her soft glowing red hydrogen alpha eyes burning with the fury of Sirius, loving twinking in starlight. She floats over me in inches. I have bought thee a present, dearest human. 'Tis a bottle full of my eyesight. It contains the very essence of universe. Gaze long into it. You see through my eyes, I shall feel thy soul. You may uncork it, smell my essence, gunpowder the fragrance of deep space, cotton candy the chemistry of nebulae, perfume of the supernovae, fear not the open flask. Its content is everlasting, this bottle shall never empty, nor shall it extinguish. Her dark energy hand holding flask number 21 gently sets it on my nightstand, glowing in red, 720 nanometer hydrogen. Use my gift sparingly, David, for it may be addicting, sweet in its redolence, veined with my femininity so very much. You may also see such sights you cannot comprehend. You may go insane. But I will pull you back from the brink. However, if you look long into the abyss, it looks back into you. Do not let it peer into your soul. If you gaze long into the bottle, you will join me at the subatomic level forevermore. I would love you for your sacrifice. I cannot allow us to come to this. I shall not take your life this way. I am forever yours, David William. The breath sweet and alluring, I put my arms around my queen while she is still here. I pull her down onto me, her dark energy hair cascading down upon my face. I love my queen. Amen. End poem.
He has such a way of telling stories, such a way of, you know, putting himself into this and, you know, bringing the scientific weirdness to it, too. I just loved the way he writes.
Yes.
Just bringing all of that into this. And he does. He just brings you into that darkness, into this world, and makes you love the character. And this is, like, so graphic as he's, like, giving his life to her. Or, you know,
yes,
pulling her down into him and sacrificing and showing his love and his gratitude. It's just a great write, great storytelling write.
It is. And he genuinely has, you know, this connection that he talks about with this sort of figure and image. And he's spoken about it a number of times and written about it a number of times. And, It's really it's very present for him and very powerful for him. And so, you know, and then you sort of, you grab it and you just think, wow, you know, that's pretty cool. So now I'm going to ask you, Sweet, to put your poem on the board, because we've sort of got within about 35 minutes of the end, and I suspect if we were going to hear from Hatter, that we probably would have heard from him by now, I think.
I agree. Absolutely agree. He's probably sleeping.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. I know Deb's sleeping and has been doing a heck of a lot of sleeping, and I know Hatter's been not too far away in terms of that as well. So anyway, there you go.
All right. So what are we going to do next?
We'll get yours next. And then from there, we have three to go.
Okay. Which one of mine are we going to do?
Good question. You tell me.
Which one do
I'm in your hands. What are my choices?
I'm going to do, Bury Me. We'll do the this week's one, not the potion one.
Okay.
Copy team of voices. Let me see. I will throw that up on the board.
Thank you.
There we go. So this is Bury Me. That little bottle. Or that little hourglass has a little tag on it that says Bury Me on it.
Ah, so, it does too. Got it.
Yeah. So Alice wandered through Wonderland for years, watching purple flowers turn to wine-colored trees and teapots serve their time and retire to checkerboard tablecloth paradise. As she aged into an old woman, Alice watched Tweedledee and Tweedledum never grow old. A caterpillar never stops smoking, and a cat keeps smiling. Alice never heard the metallic tick-tock of time, but she was the dust that poured through the hour, but she knew that she was soon to be gone. Alice's heart blemished by her selfishness to stay. Her brass and brazen wishes have kept her here too long. She abandoned everything else but Wonderland. And now it was time. Alice climbed into the hourglass, her teardrops soaking her blue dress. She began to trickle away, dust to dust, until nothing but her heart by the bottom dying. Bump, bump, bump. Bottle she drank to make her small or tall. She ate mushrooms and drank tea and smoked something to make her wise. Now her final instruction to Hatter, bury me, a final goodbye, and pull.
Well, there you go. I can see now why you wanted our friend the Hatter there, because it's sort of it's a different take on the Alice in Wonderland sort of proverb and tale, isn't it, really? Because you end up having sort of what's left being the heart there after having spent your whole life sitting in that story. And I don't know if you ever did any of the gaming stuff at all, Sweet. I know Sky did, but I am old enough to remember that there was a Dungeons and Dragons story that was done as Alice in Wonderland. And the, you know, Tweedledum and Tweedledee were druids and the queen was some sort of magical dragon. And it was really fascinating. I think the person who did it must have been on some form of hallucinogenic substances, but it was really interesting to play. I really enjoyed it. But for some reason, it reminded me of that, and I can't for the life of me work out why, but it took me back to that time of Dungeons and Dragons and playing Alice in Wonderland with Dungeons and Dragons. So I think that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing anyway.
Okay.
I think it's a good thing. So there you go. And we will have to get Patter's comment when he reappears on the boards,
yeah.
which I'm assuming will be in the next few days. He's not too far away, I don't think. So
no.
That was cool. So thank you for that for that piece, sweet. That was fun. So let me go now. Where am I going to go? Good question. And who am I going to read? Even better question. I think I'm going to read the Gerald Green piece because we did have on Potions, we did have a SoundCloud for that, but I think it's probably not been loaded up to the board. So let me go and read that for Gerald. So bear with me one tick. Excision by Gerald Green. And it goes a little bit like this. The hospice nurse allowed me to close the bedroom door. I slowly closed the bedroom door behind the hospice nurse and coroner who knew I wanted time alone with my wife of 53 years who had just breathed her last. There would be no autopsy. They talked in low tones, respecting my privacy as I opened the dresser drawer and removed what was needed. The gown opened with ease and I didn't allow hesitation to stop what needed doing as I put on latex gloves. The incision was tougher than expected, but silent and nearly bloodless. My right hand reached inside and felt the pericardial sac that stood in my way. With scalpel, I entered her chamber of life. Using two fingers, I carefully grasped what I discovered to be tough tissue of arteries and veins, anchoring her heart in place. After severing the vena cava, I placed one end into a decanter and squeezed deep red blood from her heart until it was half filled. Using scissors, I then cut out the heart and removed the left ventricle, the pump that made her who she was, that gave her skin glow and eyes sparkle. With some effort, I shoved the tissue into the decanter and watched it float on blood that I knew would quickly coagulate into lumps of death. I returned the heart to its proper place and sutured her skin back together with fishing line, leaving no residue or stain to raise questions or suspicion. After the body was removed by the undertaker, I added alcohol and sealed the decanter, placing it on the dresser where it keeps me company. My lover is with me still. End poem.
Wow. It's another, I mean, these guys are just knocking them out of the park.
Yeah. That was dark. Gerald, sorry, that was dark. But it was very elegantly dark. It was
wow.
And factually dark and just sort of had a real sort of impact to it because of what you were describing and how you described it and what you did. And there was clearly a level of anatomical knowledge there, which is impressive as well. So when I was reading it, I was thinking, aha, so where's this going to go? And then I thought, well, Jesus, it's quickly, it's not going to go there, is it? And I thought, Jesus, it is. So you impressed me, Gerald. I was surprised and I was impressed. Sweet, what did you think?
Well, you know, the devil's in the detail, and this poem makes him the devil. I've never seen him write so dark, but I really like that. Beautiful, dark, vicious. Wow. I love with scalpel I entered her chamber of life. I mean, wow. So well done.
Yeah. It's
where it keeps my.
It's almost bloodless, in the sense I know he's extracting blood, but it's almost blood in the way he does it. You know, it's quite remarkable.
Yeah, it is. It's wow. very, very well done.
Absolutely. It in a style that I haven't seen Gerald do before too. Just this dispassionate sort of, there's a medicalness, for want of a better word, about how he goes about doing that
yeah.
piece, and it's quite impressive. Quite impressive. So,
yeah.
Anyways, there you go. Now, I have put up a poem on the board, Sweet, if you could read, please, by Lockdown Lars, which is another potion poem.
Okay. One More by Lockdown Lars. There was a time when one went away with buddies for root beer, golf to play. A time when it felt easy and free, being laughter and for, I can't say this word, ferocity, camaraderie assured with kitty, sometimes followed up singing a ditty. Often it was March 17 in an Irish bar, all wearing hats green. Time goes by and it's the last pour. It's over. No, let's have just one more. For some cause, their fight with other carried on into the night. One occasion, the minutes amassed to find it was already time for breakfast. Now when feeling down, morale on the floor, I smile recalling those times of just one more. This memory trick helps to lift one into positivity shift. In the bottle holding your memory store, there should be a potion just like one more. End poem.
That's neat.
I like that.
Yeah, it's got a nice sense to it, hasn't it? It's
yes.
It's sort of it's talking in a sort of very sort of positive and warm way about feeling and what you're doing and just having something that actually lifted you up to be able to do it. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
So, and I like the style of the poem. I always appreciate rhymers, and I know that Lockdown Lars is saying that he's still, you know, on the path to learning to write, and but I encourage you to keep rhyming and to keep that flow of the poem going in the way that you are, because it's you know, it's the way you develop your own style. It's the way you develop your own being as a writer. And just stick with the rhyming, because it sort of becomes part of you. It's the best way to describe it. And that's what happened for me. It just took a few years for it to happen, but it will. So, yeah. But a lovely sense of the poem, I guess, is my summary. Sweet. It's just got a lovely sort of feel to it. The vibe,
awesome.
I would say. The vibe. Okay.
Right.
Well, I've got
the
one
vibe.
More, then I've got your poem. The vibe. I've got one more poem, then I've got your final one up on the board.
Put mine on the board.
Oh, no. What about the sum
of the potion? Mine on the board.
I know.
Yes, you put
I'm
mine
on. I'm so organized.
Okay.
I'm so organized.
I was like, mine's
oh, yes.
on the board.
So.
All right.
I know.
There we go.
I know. But I've got to do one first.
Okay.
It's just Theme Perfume by Laughing Soul.
Okay.
So I'm going to read that, then you've got the last one to read. So here we go. This is
okay.
Amaranthine Perfume by Laughing Soul. It goes a little bit like this. We may not cross paths ever, but shall linger a cologne of you in me forever. And my fragrance shall breathe in the boulevard of your memories, an amaranthine asp entwined around a withering bower. Thou shalt be clutched by a vampire of time, aroused by my unfading voice, a calloused dulcet chime. Thine soul, a bent bough, then shall pardon seek. From nights my quill bled doleful hues, and the moon drowned in ballads bleak. O darling, my heart shall forgive you ever, shall linger my quelling perfume forever. End poem. There you go. That was dark and mystical and fragrant, really. But it was intriguing nonetheless. What did you think, Sweet?
I'm not sure if I want to buy it or spill it on my ex-husband.
I could go for
trying to
figure that. You know, why go do both, you know?
I'm just like, what should I do?
Yeah.
I thought this was great. Oh, I think this is a wonderful little, you know, what can we do with this little thing?
Yeah.
This is great. Oh. In the boulevard of your memories. I really like that line. Time. There's kind of some jealousy in here. I'm a little envious of some of these great lines that she's got on here. And the moon drowned and the ballad bleak. I really, really like this.
Yeah,
it's just dark as can be. A lot of these potions were not happy potions. They became pretty dark.
No. Ours was the exception. I think they were all going doom, and doom, and more doom, unless it was lockdown last. And yet then it was, you know, anyway, it was the dark potion. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
Now we're left with you, Sweet. We're left with you with the final, obviously, to go with the best from the last poem of the show, which is, you know, the Anthony Clarkson painting and the potions show combined together for death. So we have officially now done everything on the board, which is kind of cool. And except for your poem.
Okay. This is Summer Loving Potion. Periwinkle ribbons of lace decorate the round glass. The aquamarine waters in constant motion, oceanic scene of summer love moment. Sticky cotton hand holding rock and roll, boardwalking, dancing. Carousel, brass ring, dream catcher, past curfew, rule breaker. Sweet kisses and salt-scented breezes. Sex in the sand schemes, breakups and teardrops and red lipstick lies, pink phone dial-ups, chocolate shakes and Elvis advice, a near haircut and tight sweater, and a plan to hurt him twice, breeze, broken necks. Do you hear the sea scream, sunken ship in a bottle? This is the potion to make them heed to summer loving memories and poem.
Sort of like that, the poetic form of the sort of boys of summer, isn't it, really? You know, that economist sort of, with the sort of seagull, you know, going through the amplifier. It sort of feels like that to me, really. Periwinkle and aquamarine, which means, of course, that it pays homage to death, because, you know, we all know that periwinkle is a dead word. It's kind of fun because of the ocean scene in the bottle. I like the picture a lot. I like the idea of, you know, having a seagull sort of screaming away at the synthesizer in that Boys of Summer, and I can't get the song out of my head now. But I do notice with interest that it's a pending pick, Sweet. So this is...
I don't need to know who would have picked this, but okay.
heading onto the front page, and I have a funny feeling as to who the picker is at the minute, if you do want to know, and that is that I believe it is Joe. So there you go. You have Joe to thank, or you have Joe to say, what the hell are you going to do? You know, all of that.
Yeah.
Why did you choose this one?
Yeah.
But she did. Joe did ask me a few days ago for some suggested poems to put on the front page, and I gave her a list of five or six so that I thought were worthy. So anyway, we'll see.
Oh, that's great, Joe. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
It strikes me up.
Now, I have a question for you, sweet, because I haven't asked you for a couple of hours, but did you happen to find a non-swearing version of that song that I like to put into the studio?
You know, I did, but my computer froze up on me, and I can't, unfortunately, download it because I'm in safe mode on my computer, so... I am not doing
not
well right now, but I now know it is a shut down. I am in.
I will get it hooked up for next time. It's as I said, I think it's a really funky little pop song. It's only 3 minutes, and you know it doesn't overstay.
It is. It's
welcome,
2 minutes
so.
And 22 seconds.
I know. There's nothing in it. You know, it's like playing another Beatles song. Anyway, so we've got. A whole heap of time to finish the show so we can play a longer tune to finish. But thank you, Sweet, for hanging out with me for all of that time. Much appreciated. And thank you to Blue and to Wayne for dialing in and to also to Kay and to Stephen at the start of the program for dialing in. And we need to wish Deb and Hatter all the best to get better as soon as they possibly can. Then Deb hopefully will be back with the normal everyday Deb show, which is what this would normally be. Yes. So we wish her the best of health and everything else, but she's just so ridiculously organised. If we didn't do these couple of programs, I'm not sure when we would have done them, and then we wouldn't have heard all this great poetry, Sweet, and that would have been a shame. So Deb is now back on board, and she can go straight into the shows that she was intending to do. So get well soon, Deb. Get well soon, Hatter. And meantime, if we've got a little bit of time, that means I can go out with a longer song, Sweet. And so...
Well... You can't go out with a longer song.
I'm going to go out with New York State of Mind. So away we go.
It.
And thanks. And we're off to the races with Billy Joel. Talk soon.
I'm in a New York state of mind. It was so easy living day by day, out of touch with the rhythm and blues. But now I need a little give and take. The New York Times, the Daily News. It comes down to reality, and it's fine with me, 'cause I've let it slide. Don't care if it's Chinatown or around Riverside. I don't have any reason left them all behind. I'm in a New York state of mind. Oh,
everybody.
Hi.
Bye. Bye, Amadeus.